This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So happy to be with you. So delighted that we get to begin this Advent season together on this first Monday in Advent. Also hoping that you had a beautiful and absolutely glorious Thanksgiving, raising your hearts and our minds to our Lord in an attitude of thanksgiving and praise for all of the bountiful blessings He has bestowed upon you. I hope that it was a wonderful time with family as well. We're delighted to be back with you today. And I want to remind you of the numbers that you can use to join us here. Here's a toll-free number for you right here. If you're in North America, it's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here. Ryan Penny on the phones today, eager as a beaver to hear from you. Yes, he is. So give him a call. And that number once again, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also available for you out there in cyberspace. We are. We're out there in social media land on EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, inviting you to use the chat feature at either of those two locations to get your question, comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement up on the board for us here today. The lines are open for you. We want to talk about anything you want to talk about. I would certainly love to know two things. I would love to know how your Thanksgiving went, what was the most memorable moment of your Thanksgiving, and I would like to know how you are going to be preparing for the coming of the Christ child through this Advent season, both of which are very important, you know, because as we ruminate, as we think about those beautiful moments that we spend together on these beautiful holidays that we have together, we can begin to see that God is with us in all things, and that helps for us to make ardent preparation for Him as we come through this Advent season. So I'm just going to share with you a little bit of my meanderings this morning in my time of prayer. And, you know, it was interesting because when I woke up this morning, there was a prayer that was kind of playing through me, so to speak. And it was that beautiful prayer that we pray to the Holy Spirit, you know, come Holy Spirit. And it's that beautiful prayer where we talk about, you know, to renew the face of the earth, right? That we're asking for a renewal in ourselves that we in turn might then renew the earth. And we always use that first person plural pronoun there, the we, you know, And yeah, this morning as I was praying it, I just changed it to I, and I thought to myself, is that appropriate to do? And then I thought, well, you know, it really is. And I started thinking about this great reality, you know, that when we give the Holy Spirit permission in us, then in fact, we become a dynamic of change in our world. As we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we are filled with the divine life, and that divine life begins to be played out in all of our actions. And I began thinking about this great reality and the great gift of our baptism, the great gift of our confirmation. Baptism, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and through confirmation, we're strengthened and we are confirmed in Him, right? You know, we think about those things, and we only sometimes think about them in an intellectual way. But we need to think about them, I think, in a dynamic way, in a life-changing way, that this is not just something that comes to us by way of theology, but this is something that comes to us by way of proxy. It comes to us by way of living the faith, and that there is a dynamic. And when we live according to the Holy Spirit, then the most beautiful, glorious things can happen in us and through us. We have an effect in the world. And here's the great truth and the great reality. We all affect the world. We affect the world just through the very fact that we live and we breathe and we are. And we affect this time and this moment in the history of man by those very same realities. And we have this capacity, if we're open to the presence of the Holy Spirit, if we're open to that indwelling of Him, if we are conscious of that, and we ask the Holy Spirit to work in us, come Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your most beloved spouse. When we think about that truth, then something happens in us, and something by the very fact that something's happening in us, something happens in the world. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, well, you know, when you know, do we see this in Scripture? When do we see this dynamism? When do we see this dynamic reality of the Holy Spirit in us changing the history of man? And I was taken, you know, in my thought process to the very beginning of Advent, to the very beginning of the very first Advent, to the overshadowing of our Blessed Lady by the Holy Spirit. Our Blessed Lady is overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. She gives the Holy Spirit permission to fecundate her, to make her fertile by the divine life itself. And she conceives the Word made flesh, and He dwells within her. And the whole trajectory, the whole trajectory of human history is changed in that instant. And I do believe that God wants to do that in us, right? I believe that He does. And we read in True Devotion that, you know, when the Holy Spirit finds Mary in a soul, He flies there, and that he fills that soul abundantly to the extent that that soul makes way for Him. And He goes on in that passage, Saint Louis de Montfort does, and he says, nay, one of the greatest reasons why we do not now see startling wonders in our midst is because the Holy Spirit does not see a sufficient union with His beloved spouse, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I was thinking, isn't this the way in which God ordained it to be? That the Holy Spirit comes to us, but He comes to us with and through our Blessed Lady. We see this again and again in Sacred Scripture. We see it at that moment of that Annunciation, but don't we see it as well, you know, in that moment of Pentecost when Our Lady is gathered with the apostles in the upper room and the Holy Spirit comes? And so I was thinking to myself, well, now, if this is the way that Advent that led to our salvation began, it began with Mary and the Holy Spirit, wouldn't it be a beautiful thing to ask our Blessed Lady to be with us, to accompany us through our time of this Advent preparation? Because if the Holy Spirit, if Our Lady is there, the Holy Spirit is there. That's what Louis de Montfort tells us. And isn't this, confirmed for us in Scripture precisely in the two beautiful moments that I just related to you? So there is this dynamic between Our Lady and the Holy Spirit. And when Our Lady and the Holy Spirit is about a work in our lives, we are forever changed by it. So we should invite our Mary to be the one who guides us and leads us through our time of Advent. The Holy Spirit is abundantly present. And when we have Our Lady and the Holy Spirit, what happens? Jesus Christ is revealed, right? And I, you know, I was just caught up with this thinking, and I was caught up by the fact that, you know, just as surely as it was through the Holy Spirit and our Blessed Lady that our Lord Jesus Christ was conceived within the womb of Mary, she carried and gestated Him for all 9 months and gave birth to Him in the fullness of time, as we read in Galatians 4:4. So too, when we are open to the presence of our Blessed Lady and the Holy Spirit, do we spiritually conceive Jesus in our hearts? He is gestated there. And in that gestational process, we come to full stature in Him, and we birth Him to the world. And isn't that really what it's meant to be by way of our baptism and all of the sacraments that help us to live that abundant life in Jesus Christ and to share that abundant life with others? And so, just a suggestion, invite Mary. The Holy Spirit comes, and let's see how this Advent season goes. We're going to be right back with you. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am very eager to hear from you. Our phone lines are lighting up. Let me give you that number so you can join these happy people that are waiting. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3255. 3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Ryan Penny's on the phone for you. I also want to mention that Jeff Burson, our producer, is also our social media manager, and he will rush right out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and retrieve your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement that you've left for us there via the chat feature. So use that opportunity. And you can also text us. Text EWTN to 55000. That's EWTN to 55000. So I was just mentioning to you, you know, why not ask our Blessed Lady to be the one who takes you through Advent? Listen, I'll tell you, she really does want to accompany you. She really does want to share the mysteries of her son's life with you. She wants to even take you into that time of expectant faith that she experienced as she made her way through that first Advent. 9 months, we only have 4 weeks, and one of those weeks is a pretty short one. But you know, there is no time in eternity, and our Blessed Lady is in the eternal moment, and much can be done in the weeks and the days that we have ahead of us. Let's get to Sandy. She's in Denver, Colorado, listening to us via Catholic Radio Network. She is a first-time caller, and there's our first-time caller bell for Sandy. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I heard you speak in Denver, Colorado this fall at the EWTN Family Conference, and you touched me. I think the Holy Spirit knew that we needed to hear your message. I'm also a mother of a veteran, an Iraqi war veteran, and when you spoke, I just physically was filled. I could feel all your pain, and I understand. You know, my son was raised Catholic, dedicated to the Blessed Mother, went to Catholic schools for 12 years. You send him off to war twice. He went twice to Iraq and once to Afghanistan, and they never come back the same.
Yeah.
But through, I have a family friend, a priest, and we did a novena of masses for him his second time around, and that seemed to help a lot. But I really wanted to thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit and touching all of us parents. I think we really needed to hear something from somebody who's been through it. And I want to thank you very much.
Oh, Sandy, thank you so very much for joining us there at that beautiful family celebration that was held in Denver not all that many months ago. And, you know, these stories and the way in which God works in our lives through our pains and our sufferings and our travails and our losses and our griefs, I really do believe are treasures of grace for us. And when we ask the Holy Spirit to begin to unpack for us the great graces that are there for us in those moments, and we receive them, then there's a beautiful reality in sharing them with others. And it brought me great joy to be able to share with you about my son and about the loss of him. And to the extent that it brought consolation to you or to any other parents of veterans that were with us, I am most grateful for that. You know, you are right. Our guys and our ladies go off to these far-flung places, and they experience things that they've never thought they would experience, and it does mark them. But that marking can also be used by God to bring, you know, deep empathy and beautiful gifts that help for them to experience the compassion that is so necessary. And I remember my son coming home and talking about that, and basically, you know, how he was torn up interiorly by obviously some of what he saw, though he didn't dwell on that, but by the conditions that people were living in. And it touched him deeply. So I want to thank you, Sandy, for your call today. God bless you.
Thank you, and keep up the good work. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sandy. Keep praying for us. We all need that. Thank you. God bless you, and blessed Advent to you. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. You know, here we are in the Advent season. And of course, you know, because of the world in which we live, we are also looking forward to Christmas Day, right? We look forward to that great celebration. And one of the ways in which we dedicate that day to our Lord is by giving gifts to others, just as he himself gave himself for us. So I want to encourage you to get out to EWTN's religious catalog. Today is Cyber Monday. And today only, it's free shipping. Today only, It's free shipping. Did I say it was today only that there was free shipping? It is. So take advantage of that great opportunity. You're going to find beautiful, beautiful holy reminders there that you can give as gifts that not only are reminiscent in a certain way, symbolic of the gift of the Christ child himself, but actually further that relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ throughout the course of the year. So go on out to EWTNRC.com, see all of the beautiful things available for you. Take advantage of the free shipping today only on this Cyber Monday. When you purchase through Religious Catalog, let me tell you, it certainly does help to advance the mission of Mother Angelica and her deep desire to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the very corners of the earth. So please do take a peek out there and see what's good for you. Let's go to Charlie. He's in Metairie, Louisiana today, and we're eager to hear what Charlie has to share with us. You too can share with us today at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning. Thank you, Ms. William, for taking my call.
You're so welcome.
Thank you. And I hope you're doing well.
I am.
I think that because people have different opinions of what sex education is, that nobody's opinion should be taught in the public schools, because I believe that's one of the root causes of abortion, and that let children be children, 10-year-olds and all, they're being exposed to stuff that is really not good for them and unnecessary. And just like the early Americans decided to teach nobody's religion in the public schools, well, don't teach anybody's opinion. Let the parents teach them.
Well,
and
you know, that's
my comment.
Well, you know, it's a great comment, and I really do appreciate it. And it's in harmony with the church, because Holy Mother Church tells us that the parents are the primary educators of their children. And when it comes to matters that are as delicate as the beautiful reality of our gender and the way in which it's expressed in marriage, it's very important that parents be the one who present this to their children. The argument on the other side, however, is that parents don't do this. And we know very well that, nature abhors a vacuum. So if the parents don't begin this process of education with their children, something will replace it. And in many cases, the children come into the classroom already knowledgeable about many things that they wouldn't have been knowledgeable about in prior generations, simply because of media, because of the blitz of sexual messages that are projected through television, that are projected often through radio, that are projected in print media as well. So we live, I think, in an environment today that denigrates the human person because of this expose of the sexual, I don't even know what to call it exactly. It's like it's an obsession with the cult of the body, and it's very dangerous. And I agree with you on this as well, that our children, you know, psychologically are not necessarily prepared to receive all of this information at the same time. Children developmentally mature at different rates of speed. And so what might be appropriate for an 11-year-old may not be appropriate for another 11-year-old, or might not even be appropriate for a certain 13-year-old, because they're not ready, emotionally mature enough, developmentally strong enough to be able to receive that information and appropriate it in a way that leads them to the best choices. So that being said, I thoroughly agree with you. I think it would be better if there was no sex education in any school, Catholic or otherwise, that this would be left to the parents. Now, what I think would be good would be an education for the parents on how best to approach these topics with their children. And frankly, I think that the best way to do this is to bring children up at age-appropriate moments with discussions about such matters. Then they can naturally grow into this beautiful reality of the great gift of our bodies that God has given to each one of us. So thank you for your comment today, Charlie. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Mrs. William.
Thank you. You're quite welcome. Bye-bye now. God bless you too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 3986. That is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live today. Looking forward to hearing from you. I want to add one more comment to what Charlie was talking about. In many ways, I think it's a type of abuse to introduce our children to these notions about sexuality and sexual activity at such young ages. I think it's abusive to them psychologically. I think it's abusive to them morally. I think it's abusive to them emotionally. And I think it's reprehensible. And I think that Charlie's right. One of the reasons why we see this rise in abortion, but it's one of the reasons why we see this rise of perversity in our culture today. We don't even want to use that word anymore. It's probably a politically incorrect word, but you got to call something what it is. And it's a perverse culture that we live in sexually today. Let's go to Patty. She's in Allentown, Pennsylvania. EWTN app is the way that she's with us. Hi, Patty. How are you?
I'm good, Jonette. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you that for Thanksgiving, we did something a little crazy. I work at a soup kitchen, and it was our turn to prepare the meal on Friday. So I had all my guests peel about 60 pounds of potatoes so we would have fresh mashed potatoes. And sitting around the table and doing all this work, it actually brought us closer together and made us more thankful. It was a wonderful thing. It was a whole lot of fun.
Patty, I just think that is the most marvelous idea. I think that that is so beautiful and so lovely, you know, and it takes me back to times long ago and far away when people would come together to engage in a certain work, a certain effort. And I don't mean work like we see work today, going to a building and putting in our time there and doing the jobs that are assigned to us. But I mean a corporate effort where all are engaged in the same thing. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, all the way back into the 1800s when women would gather together and they would have quilting parties and men would have roof raising, you know, events, and neighbors would come together to be at the service of each other. It was a, you know, we tend to have a nostalgia towards the past. So it was not an easy time. And I'm sure that life then wasn't any more perfect or less perfect than life is today. But there is something about that corporate enterprise, and to engage in a charitable work like that, golly, I just know that there must be blessings abounding.
It was blessed to do that. You know, some people had never even peeled potatoes before, and they liked it. So, yeah. And I also have another issue, too. I'm having a real sadness during this Advent season because 9 months ago, my husband asked me for a divorce.
Oh,
and all these things are coming to closure a little bit. Like, he bought a house and he's moving in right before Christmas. And he asked to have Christmas at his new house. And I don't really want to go. I think about hiding somewhere, you know.
Well, why would he expect that you would go?
My kids want, you know, they're grown kids. I have four children, and they desperately want things to come together to be the same as they always were. And I think to myself, well, maybe I should take a trip or go somewhere so that I can get out of this and he can just spend Christmas with the children.
Mm-hmm. So your children are in favor of you attending Christmas at his home? Is that correct?
Well, I haven't really talked to them about that part of it, but they all wanted to go to his new house for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're very confused. This came out of the blue. No one was expecting it, especially me. And, you know, I've been feeling like I'm climbing out of a hole through it all.
Sure,
and
Patty.
I feel like this is just one more devastating blow. And I just don't know that I can do it.
Yeah. Well, let me say this, Patty. I don't think that there's an obligation on your part to go to your husband's, ex-husband's new house for Christmas. And I think that this is a very painful time. You're grieving the loss of a marriage. You're grieving the loss of this man's love, at least in the way in which you knew that love for all of the years that you were married. And there's a tenderness of heart here that cannot be denied. You know, your heart is aching, and it's sore, and it's painful. And your emotions, of course, are the same. And so there needs to be, I think, permission for you to go through a healing process. And if that healing process requires you not joining in this day, then I think that that's understandable. It's sad. Now, your children, are they married or are they single?
Two of them are living with their significant others, and two are not with anyone. And the ones that are living with someone, they have expressed to me that they're terribly afraid to get married. Mm-hmm. Both of them want to get married to these people they're living with, but they're so afraid they won't get married, they said, mm-hmm. both of them.
Well, and of course, we know that cohabitation is one of the big predictors of failed marriages, that often the majority of cases of relationships that begin that way do not last. However, that being said, you know, what is the point then? Because the fact of the matter is, if one of their significant others walked out on them, the pain would be a very great pain, I would assume. But that being said, I think it's important for you to have a heart-to-heart talk with your children and express to them where you are at this moment in your process of healing, and that this might be too much for you, and especially at his residence. If it should be anywhere, it should be in the home that your children knew together as a family. That's my opinion. This is just pure Johnette Williams here, because that is where the memories were. And then it's up to you to determine whether or not you would want for your ex-husband to join in those festivities. So listen, I'm going to tuck you into my rosary, Patty, and be praying for you. We're going to go to a break. We're going to be right back, inviting you to join us right here. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. We're happy to be with you today, and we're inviting you to give us a call here. Let me give you the number to use. It's toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 800. No, it is not. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Yes, it is. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Just pick up the phone, give us a call. Ryan Penny is there. He'll get your question up on the board. Additionally, you can go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. When you get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, you can use the chat feature. Put your question or comment right there in that chat feature. Jeff Burson, our producer and social media manager, will go out there and get it and put it up on the board for us. So we just spoke with a beautiful lady going through a very difficult time right now. You know, this is the first season of Advent and the first coming season of Christmas that she will experience as a divorced person. And I wanted to just send you out, her name was Patty. I want to send you out, Patty, to a website. It's lisaduffy.com. LisaDuffy.com. I've interviewed Lisa in the past, and she has books from a Catholic perspective on how to manage these most difficult moments as you make your way through this process of healing and recovery. So LisaDuffy.com might be of some assistance to you. And I certainly do pray that the Holy Spirit and our Blessed Lady guide you and lead you during this time and to help you make a decision about this moment. You know, we talked about the fact that your heart is so sore and so tender right now that emotionally, you know, it might be very difficult to make your way. On the other side of that coin, however, is the fact that it's you have your children, and it's important for them to be able to witness you in this moment as well. But I would have a serious discussion with my children. And I think that that's what I would do. And if you and your ex-husband are on speaking terms, and it sounds like you very well might be, you might talk with him about it. Maybe going to neither home is the answer. Maybe going to a neutral location might be something. Meeting for dinner, for example, at a restaurant, beginning a new tradition where all of those emotions and those memories and those very delicate fibers of a heart that's been torn apart are not subject to what once was. So just a thought for you on that. Let's go to Patty. She's in Boonville, Missouri today. Sirius XM 130 is the way she's joining us. How are you, Patty?
I'm doing great. I just got in my vehicle and turned the radio on and heard the other Patty's situation and think, oh gosh, that's almost me.
Oh my heavens.
It's just a little bit different. I was the spouse who left because my husband, I've been battling cancer and other health issues for 3 years, and he has not been supportive through me, through that journey with me. And we had issues before, but I was the spouse that left because I needed to have peace. And not being in a stressful environment. I, too, have 4 grown children, all girls. And like most little girls, they're daddy's girls. And he's doing a good job of playing the victim. So they were home for, 2 of them go to school out of state and 2 of them are local. But I don't see them unless I reach out to them. Or they call me if they want something or need something, like mom's advice or such, but they were here and they spent the majority of the time with their dad. And the little time that I was with them, they kind of, they let me know that they were with dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of have that same, but I've, lots of prayer and lots of knowing that I did what I needed to do for my peace and that hopefully one day they'll understand. And unfortunate, they won't talk to me about why I left. But of course, they listen to my husband, but they don't want to hear it from me, even though they did. They even admitted that they weren't surprised.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's that I find comfort in church. I have good friends, and in my peace.
Yeah.
But I've had that same thought as Patty as. Maybe I should just go away.
Yeah.
for a holiday.
These moments are very difficult, and these moments are very upsetting for all of the family members. In the early years, I think establishing a new pattern can be quite difficult. It's interesting to me, too, because both of you are talking about young adults. You're talking about not little children necessarily, but you're talking
right.
about children that are coming to their maturity or already have made their maturity. And mm-hmm. the fact of the matter is that statistics, research is showing that, adult children of divorce continue to suffer from their parents' divorces. And it's interesting how this information seems to be not as available as you would think it will be. And how long the children hold on to the notion that perhaps their parents will get back together again, even though the parents may have been divorced for a long period of time. So, I guess it's important to just go through with your children some of the realities of divorce and the emotions that you have experienced in the midst of it all as well, so that there can be some kind of openness about it. I think not talking about it oftentimes is more harmful than discussions.
I thought when you mentioned it, or maybe it may have been on More to Life about letting your kids know every day that you love them. And I thought, well, maybe I should send them a message every morning during Athens, via text.
Mm-hmm.
And, maybe open that door.
Well, you see, I think that's true. I think it might be very helpful to do that. There's a book out there. Let me tell you this, Patty, and if the other Patty's still listening or anybody else who is experiencing this kind of situation at home, I had the opportunity to interview Lila Miller. She was the author. She's the author of a book called Primal Loss, The Now Adult Children of Divorce Speak. And it's a compilation, really, of answers to questionnaires that she sent out to these individuals who came in touch with her through a blog that she was writing and through a story that a friend shared with her about her own suffering over her parents' divorce. This woman was not a young woman anymore. This was a woman who was in her 30s or 40s. And she was kind of surprised by this, and she commented on the blog, and she began to get all of these responses in from people who were in that age group and older, who had lived through the struggle of their parents' marriage and also the ultimate divorce that came in all of these cases. And, you know, I read through this book and was, you know, really quite taken by the questions that were asked and the candidness with which the people responded. And, you know, children never outgrow the fact that their parents divorced. And this is one of the realities that I don't think, you know, we hear enough about when people are anticipating a divorce. And that's not to say that there aren't reasons for a divorce. Even the church admits to the fact that there can be reasons for a divorce. But by the same token, it's never the first option that we should seek. And I think that this book would be helpful for you, Patty, and for our other Patty who called in, and for any couple out there who is you know, has been divorced by a child's, you know, the child's other parent, for whatever reason, the divorce existed, because I think it gives you insight into where their angst is and what they want to hear from their parents, and the struggle that ensues interiorly in them when they don't hear responses from the parents about certain things. So I would really encourage you to get a copy of it. Again, it's Primal Loss, The Now Adult Children of Divorce Speak. I think it's important from the standpoint that it will help to establish a basis for conversation with the children on points that they most definitely need to hear. And some of these points, as you'll read through this book, were common to all of them. So there is a certain kind of baseline that they all experience and all need to have answers for. And I think the more open parents can be, the better it is, without castigating the other parent. And that's a very important thing. You know, to lay blame on the other person is not the way to handle it.
Yeah, I try to. I mean, I'm not in a position where I can do that, because they won't ever even let me talk about it. And I try to explain, you know, maybe, you know, that I felt like I was broken. I wasn't supported. And right away they said, that's between you and Dad. We don't want to hear that. But yeah, he's talking to them. And I had someone tell me that I shouldn't apologize to them for wanting to be happy and needing my peace and leaving a relationship, because he was verbally abusive and emotionally abusive to me. You know, that I shouldn't apologize for that. But then I had someone else who has gone through a divorce and since remarried say, and this was a man, because I was talking to his wife, and he said, I have to interrupt. I disagree with that. You should apologize them for breaking up what they thought, you know, their family, what their, you know, their picture of having a mom and a dad and their normal. And that's what you kind of mentioned, that you know, even the adult children can struggle with, you know,
right,
the loss of the family, because we've broken up, you know, even though they say, they didn't expect it. They weren't surprised.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, and maybe a way to approach the conversation would simply be to say, you know, and maybe you've had these discussions, I don't know, but maybe just to forward the question, you know, I really want to know, you know, how did, when we got the divorce, how were you feeling? You know, what emotions were going through you? And it might be very hard to hear what their responses are if they're candid enough to share them. It'll be very difficult, but I think it's important. So And it sounds, Pat, as though you have had an opportunity to have discussions with them. But I think one of the things that Kay did come out in this book was the fact that, the children are left with this broken relationship, and it's mom and dad, and their security is found in the union of mom and dad. And now this union is broken. And so, I don't think that, from the responses that came, depending upon the age the children were at the time of the divorce, they're not really able to appropriate that well. But to ask them about those questions, to let them know that you have a sensitivity to the fact that this was shattering for them as well as for yourself, can be a very important discussion starter that might be able to resolve other things. Of course, you've got to pick times when you think that they are ready for that kind of a discussion, and you will know that as their mother.
Right.
Well, thank you for responding.
Thank you, and thanks for the information on both of those books. And I hope the other Patty is listening, and let her know I'll be praying for her.
Well, there you go. And we'll all be praying for each other too, Patty. So thank you so very, very much. And God bless you for your call today. Thank you very, very much. And we invite you to call us 2-833-288-EWTN. It's toll free for you right here in North America. 833-288-3986. Amy's out there in YouTube land. She says, how would you handle this holiday situation? 20-plus-year-old female cousins are dressing immodestly, exposing body parts with black lipstick, it seems, for show on holidays. We have small children being exposed to this. Is it okay to not invite people to get-togethers who do this? Well, Amy, here's the thing. You have authority in your home. So nobody can put a gun to your head and tell you have to invite people. So you can make a decision on that if you'd like. Now, I think that it would be very good, perhaps, for you to ask our Blessed Mother to give you the courage to talk to these 20-year-old and 20-year-old plus female cousins and explain to them that they're beautiful young ladies created in the image and likeness of God, and that in and of themselves, they have great dignity and they have great worth. And so you would like to see them, dress in a way that shows the dignity that they have, and explain to them that while this might be the worldly way of dressing for a holiday season, it really isn't appropriate for your children to be exposed to immodest dress wear. I don't think I'm phrasing this as well as it needs to be phrased at the present moment, but you get my point. So what you want to do is to edify these young ladies, to help them understand the great dignity that is theirs because of their feminine person, and that it's not necessary for them to dress in such a way that it sends a signal or a message that they may not be aware that they are sending. And so obviously somebody should have this discussion with them. One would wish that it would come from their mother or their father. But if nobody's doing it and they're expected to be at your home, you can have that discussion with them. You have that authority with regard to what goes on in your own household. So that's what I say to you, sweetie. God bless you on that. And I think that will be of great benefit to them and an act of charity on your part. We also have Michelle out there. She is on YouTube. She says, Johnette told me to read The Secret Diary of Elizabeth Lussier. Totally changed now. I look at my relationship with my non-Catholic hubby, who is against my religion, changed how I pray for him too. And that's a tremendous book. I cannot recommend it highly enough. It is The Secret Diary of Elizabeth Lussier. It's published by Sophia Institute Press. It is a life-changing book. This beautiful woman is a servant of God or a venerable. She's one of the two. She's not a blessed as far as I know. But my goodness, what an incredible story. She reveals in this diary what incredible faith, what an incredible witness to the faith, and what a beautiful way in which she offered her sufferings at the hand of her husband for the sake of his soul. And later, after her death, I do believe he became either he became a monk or a priest. I can't quite remember which of the two, but it's an amazing book, and I refer to it frequently. So I'm glad, Michelle, that you heeded that advice and that it's changed your perspective. That being said, you know, God does not expect for us to be abused, and it's important to set up boundaries. And Holy Mother Church does not expect for us to allow abuse to ourselves to continue, but knowing when and what qualifies is that kind of an abuse is an important matter as well. Let's go to Tammy. She's in Pasadena, Texas this morning, Guadalupe Radio Network. She's a first-time caller. There we go, Tammy. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Fine. Thank you.
I was explaining to the screener, of course, I didn't get everything out. My daughter was diagnosed with cancer about 2 weeks ago. She's got a tumor.
Oh, Tammy.
They do not believe that chemo or radiation are options because it will make it more aggressive. We find out tomorrow, you know, of course, what can be done or how much time she has left. And also, we had to, and I apologize if this sounds silly, we had to put our dachshund to sleep Saturday. He had a very rare blood disorder that came on suddenly, and they said they passed within 24 hours. We had her for 12 years, and my husband's not taking it very well.
No.
That was his little girl.
And, the puppy?
And yeah, that was his little girl. She, whatever daddy did, she did. And I'm trying to help them ease the pain because between that and then my daughter and then, of course, our finances aren't all that great. And I light candles to St. Jude, to the Miraculous Mother, to the Sacred Heart, and I pray and pray and pray. And I think everything's just getting to me right now to where I'm heading to a breakdown.
Oh, Tammy, well, we certainly don't want that for that to happen. We're going to pray for your daughter. We're going to pray for you and your husband now. You know, I'm going to share a little story with you here. You know, if you've been listening since the beginning of the program, Sandy called in from Denver, Colorado today about a talk I gave at the family celebration there. And I made reference to my son, who served in the Army, came back from Iraq, and we lost him. He had been home with us 3 months, and we lost him in a vehicular accident. And a year after that, my late husband was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. And so we sojourned 2 years towards his death. It was a fatal diagnosis. Even though we prayed for healing, which we should always pray for healing, the diagnosis held true, and he passed away. And not long after that, very shortly after that, our Springer Spaniel was not doing well. She had been failing. And I think that after my late husband passed away, it was probably more than that dog could handle. And we had to put her down. And I remember when we were in the vet's office, and my youngest daughter and I were there. And, you know, we were petting our dog, and when they put them down, it's very, very fast, as you know. I mean, it just is instantaneous, really. And we began weeping and crying so hard. And we looked at each other, and we knew that it wasn't really about the dog. It was in part, but it was really just a release of all of the grief that we were experiencing through the loss of my late husband and her dad and her brother and my son. And we set out from there, and we went to the cemetery, and we prayed. But it seems to me that on the heels of the diagnosis of your daughter, that maybe something similar is taking place with your husband, that the difficulty that he's having interiorly at receiving this news about his daughter is being projected, you know, onto the death of the dog. Not that he didn't love the dog, but it may well be that this is a way in which he can, I'm going to use this word, express and or basically find place for. I want to use the word dump, but that doesn't sound very nice. A lot of the emotion that he's feeling interiorly. This is a heavy cross that you've just received in this diagnosis. And it's frightening, and it turns the whole world upside down inside of us, and nothing even looks the same outside. It's like, you know, you see things through a completely different lens when these moments come. And so I'm quite certain that there's an element of shock in all of this, and disbelief, going through the motions, but even possibly a disconnection. And I just want to turn in this last moment to our Lord now. And I just ask you, Father God, to scoop your daughter Tammy up into your arms, and to scoop her husband up into your arms, to hold them very, very close. May they hear your Sacred Heart beating in love for each one of them. And I ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that news would be received, that would be hopeful, that would give them expectant faith, that all will be well. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. Amen. God bless you, Tammy. I'll be praying for you, and so will our listeners. Until we're together again, everybody, God bless you now. Bye-bye.